Thank you, Colin, for your kind words of welcome today again. Yes, I have a busy day. I have Ballymacashan this afternoon, where Bob McAvoy is, at 3:30, and then I have Strayed Congregational Church at 6:30. So there's a lot of miles in between. So it's going to be a busy day. But thank God for these preaching opportunities. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 1. I'm going to begin a series in the book of Daniel. The last time I was here, I preached from Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace. In the furnace. And I preached that, including that in a wee short series of those who had met Jesus, Daniel's three friends, when they met Jesus. And I thought of, I wonder, should I stay in the book of Daniel? And then something was said to me afterwards that confirmed that, and after the service. So we're going to look at the book of Daniel. It's my aim to preach a chapter at a time, not to get lost in detail. From chapter 7 onwards, it might slow up a wee bit, but certainly the first six chapters, I've preached a chapter at a time, and that's what we plan to do. But Daniel is a tremendous book of encouragement, especially in our day. In any day, Daniel was taken from home to live in a foreign land and in a foreign culture and so on as a young boy. And how he coped with that is really remarkable. The grace of God and the hand of God upon his young life. And he did live to be an old man. But let's read part of chapter 1. Verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the house, or into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, to whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the princes of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, or to the steward, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat, or vegetables, and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. That'll do for our reading, and we'll comment on the other verses as we go along. 12 chapters in the book of Daniel. Just 2 nice sections of 6 chapters each. Chapters 1 to 6 are personal. They're the easiest part of the book. And chapter 7 to 12 are prophetical. And if we're looking for a key verse in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 28 says, "But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets." But there is a God in heaven. And if we were to grasp that, if everybody on the planet was to grasp that, wouldn't we live in a better planet? There is a God in heaven. And that was a great comfort to Daniel in his new circumstances. It was a great help to him that there was a God in heaven, and things were happening that maybe he couldn't fully understand. I've called this chapter 4 exemplary teenagers, because that's what they were. The king appointed them in verse 5 a daily provision of food. He wanted to select from verse 4 children in whom was no blemish, a well-favored or good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand. We don't know how many actually there were, but we know that there are 4 who stand out and were outstanding. Verse 6, "Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah." And these 4 exemplary teenagers seems to have been God's light in dark Babylon. As one has said, just 4 candles and a few more, we don't know how many more, just 4 candles shone in the godless darkness of those times. Only a handful of lives remained true to God. At a time when nobody else cared, God and his word continue to matter to this small group. We wonder what happened to the rest. They're not mentioned again. Young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. We don't know what happened to them or what became of them. But this book is about the other 4. And in fact, after chapter 3, it's only about 1, about Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not mentioned again. By way of an outline then, the first thing we see is Nebuchadnezzar's invasion in verse 1. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. This was in 605 BC. So we're 600 years before Christ here. Chapters 1 to 12 cover approximately 75 years. In chapter 1, Daniel is in his teens. In chapter 12, it is reckoned that he's in his 90s. He's an old man. He never went back to Judah. He could have gone back, but he didn't. And the books of Ezra and Nehemiah are about those who returned after 70 years, prophesied by Jeremiah. But Daniel stayed here in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar's invasion, and then we see God's initiative in verse 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. You know, this just wasn't a thing that Nebuchadnezzar did. And Nebuchadnezzar would have been ignorant of God. He was ignorant of God using him. And yet, isn't that the way God works right throughout history? When people don't realize what's going on, it is God bringing about his plans. The council of the nations come to nothing. The counsel of the Lord shall stand. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. For Proverbs 21, verse 1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. And we see this right at the beginning of Daniel's book. It is God who's in control. It's not Nebuchadnezzar. It's not going to be Darius. It's not going to be Cyrus. It's not going to be William or Alexander. It's not going to be Antiochus. These characters of history that's in the book of Daniel, although not mentioned by name, they're implied. It is God who's in control. It's the hand of God who shapes history. Because there is a God in heaven. And we're told that Israel's God is the Lord who directs history as he wills. And you can see God working in this chapter on behalf of his people. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill with the chief of the eunuchs. Verse 17. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. Now, no doubt they studied hard. That's what Nebuchadnezzar expected them to do. They went on a 3-year course, and they came out and they passed with flying colors. And they were to study the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And no doubt they studied hard at that. They did their bit. But it was God who gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. He was going to need that. He was going to need that in chapter 2. He was going to need that in chapter 5. And one has said, kings are more entirely in the hand of God than subjects are in the hand of kings. And if the Lord controls the highest, he also controls everyone else. Nebuchadnezzar's invasion, God's initiative. We see Babylon's indoctrination. We really covered these here. Babylon's indoctrination. They were being indoctrinated. Nebuchadnezzar brought these young men to Babylon. And his aim was to take all that they had learned in Judah out of them and put the teachings of Babylon into them. It was Babylonian brainwashing. Verse 3, then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. 3 years of training. And all this was done by 20 years of age. So they were in their teens. They were in their teens. It's not every young man was chosen, but those who were fit and healthy and attractive, intelligent and able. It was a matter of when you're in Babylon, you do what the Babylonians do. Just say nothing, just conform. But not Daniel. And not his friends. Verse 8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Because there was idolatry involved in this food and this wine. It had been offered up to idols as well before being brought to them to eat. Now they were an example of Romans 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I think there's a paraphrase that says, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. I think it's J.B. Phillips. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. And as we saw, I'm in chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, that was their moment to show that they were not being squeezed into the mold of Babylon. Everyone else was bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar's image of gold, which was a representation of his gods. But they stood upright. They stood out from the crowd. They were in the minority. You know, people could have said to them, look, don't rock the boat here. Don't cause any trouble. Just simply bow down. It'll be over in seconds. You know, just do the same as what everybody else is doing. And sure, then we can all go home and forget about this. And you'll be all right. But they stood and said no. And we looked upon those verses. There was a but if not in their Christian life. Well, I say Christian life, although it's his Old Testament. But you know what I mean. They were not going to disobey God. There was one true God, and they were going to represent him and revere him. And God wants his Daniels. He wants his Shadrachs, his Meshachs, his Abednegos to stand for him, to be in the minority, not to give in. Everything is going nicely here until you come to verse 8 and there's a but. But Daniel, he's going to be different. He's going to be the odd one out. He's not going to do what he's told. But Daniel purposed in his heart. And of course, we have that throughout history. In the Second World War, you had the Hitler Youth in Nazism. All other church organizations were banned. Boys Brigade, Girls Brigade, anything that took place in a church, that was all banned. And everything came in under Hitler Youth. And of course, if there had been a Daniel, and I'm sure there were Daniels, and Shadrachs and Meshachs and Abednego, they would have been taken away and never heard of again. Then you have communism and the Islamic State. You have just plain worldliness. Christians are not to run with a crowd. They are to be different. And Nebuchadnezzar may have given these men changes of name, but it didn't bring about a change of their nature. Verses 6 and 7 now, from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, lovely Hebrew names. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. And those names stuck, unfortunately. If you were to ask church people today, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what were their actual Hebrew names? Some of them couldn't tell you. We just know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know them by the names of Babylonian gods, which is unfortunate. Daniel means God is my judge. Belteshazzar, the name he was given, means Bel, protect the king. Bel, the name of a Babylonian god. Hananiah means the Lord is gracious. Shadrach means, the name that he was given means command of Aku. Mishael means who is like the Lord. The name he was given was Meshach, who is what Aku is. Azariah means the Lord is my helper. Abednego means servant of Nego. So these were awful names that they were given, but it didn't change them. It didn't change their nature. They were servants of God. They didn't bow to any pressure that came upon them. It would have been easy if they did. Just say nothing, just conform, just get on with it. But no, there were opportunities, there were times when they just had to stand up for what was right and for what was true to God's ways. And we're not to bow to any pressure, even though we may be the odd ones out. 1 Peter chapter 4, 3 and 4 says, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. You're looked upon as being odd and strange. Join in the same as everybody else. Have a good time. This is what life is all about. And they look at you and me, and we're among the most boring people they've ever met. They think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. You're just looked upon as being an oddball. But what you're being is a Daniel, is a Shadrach, a Meshach, an Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar's invasion, God's initiative, Babylon's indoctrination. You see noted individuals. And these noted individuals were, a lot of the others are not mentioned, of the young men. We don't know how many there are, but certainly more than these four. But these are the noted individuals, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And God was with these four young men. As for these four young men, verse 17, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. He gave them just what they needed at that time. As one has said, God will equip his people with whatever they need, wherever they are, whenever they need it. Just thinking of the circumstances of all these four, I'm going to say they were teenagers. They might have only been about 14. Can you imagine somebody 14 who's never been out of Judah, and they're taken to the land of Chaldea, capital city Babylon? They're never going to be back in Judah again. They're going to spend the rest of their teenage years, their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, where Daniel was concerned, right through to his 90s in Chaldea. He was never going to see his parents again. We don't know if he had siblings. Was never going to see them again. And all that he was taught, in Judah, no doubt taught the things of God. This new culture tries to take that out of him, to replace it with Babylonian culture. Can you imagine what that must be like? It's like a young 14-year-old here in Northern Ireland. He's never been out of Northern Ireland. And all of a sudden he's taken away to Saudi Arabia or somewhere like that, where all that he's been taught here is he's brainwashed with Islamic idealism, ideology. And he lives there, and he's brought up there. You know, it's like Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph taken to Egypt, spent the rest of his life there. Yes, eventually did be reconciled to his brothers and his father. But again, what Daniel was in Babylon, Joseph was in Egypt. Moses was the same. Moses brought up in the palace of Pharaoh, but Hebrews 11 tells us that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses, again faithful to God. And yet hundreds of years would have separated these three individuals, Joseph, Moses, Daniel. But they were each in a heathen environment. But they remain true to God. They are our examples today. Nebuchadnezzar's invasion, God's initiative. Babylon's indoctrination, noted individuals. But we see Daniel's intention. From verse 8, let's read then from verse 8 a wee bit again. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And maybe he told this prince why. Maybe he told him why he was doing this. Because my God is different than yours. And again, God worked in the life of this eunuch. God had brought Daniel into favor with him. The eunuch was fearful of his life. Look, the king has entrusted me to your care, and really, if you don't conform, if you don't eat the food and drink the wine and so on, if he sees you, I'll get into trouble. It may even be the death of me. But Daniel sought to give him a test and said, right, for the next 10 days, we just want to eat vegetables and drink water. And I'm sure this eunuch was afraid and wondering what they were going to be like after a week and a half. They would certainly maybe look very gaunt and have lost weight and so on. But yet, they look better than what the others did. Again, God blessed them. Verse 15 says, and at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Daniel purposed in his heart when Israel as a whole didn't. That's why he had been taken into captivity in the first place. People had turned their backs on God. God had sent his faithful prophets, Jeremiah and so on, to warn the people, look, this isn't good. This is what is going to happen. The city will be besieged. You'll be taken off into captivity. You must turn again to God. You must repent of your sins. But Israel as a whole didn't. Individuals did, like Daniel. The food was consecrated to idols before being consumed, and Daniel was having none of it. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Proverbs 16 verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And over these 10 days, the four were sustained because of their stand. God blessed them. God honored them. Those who honor me, I will honor. Yes, Daniel had a stand. It was a dangerous stand. It was an unpopular stand. Maybe some of these other young men were saying, look, you four are going to get us all into trouble here. Let's just do this and say nothing. But Daniel and the four were different than the other young men who were selected. That's why within Christian circles, you know, there can be a difference among professing Christians. There are Daniels and there are those who are not. And in these 10 days, water and vegetables never tasted as good. They would have eaten their greens. Do you remember growing up, you were told to eat your greens? All good for you. They put God first, and God honored them. He took a stand from the very start. And I cannot help but read these words, you know, but Daniel purposed in his heart, over 40 years ago, 45 years ago maybe, as a young teenager myself, in Lisburn Christian Workers Union Hall, where I went on a Saturday night, I just spent my teenage years going to meetings. And I remember one preacher, and he linked verse 8 with verse 21, the last verse. But Daniel purposed in his heart, and Daniel continued. And that's what he preached on that Saturday night. I have never forgotten that sermon. Daniel purposed in his heart, and Daniel continued. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. I want to say that sometimes smaller commitments made along the way fortify faith to plant its feet when it has to meet more severe threats. Nebuchadnezzar's invasion, God's initiative, Babylon's indoctrination, noted individuals, Daniel's intention. We see the four's increase. Not only were they blessed by God, but they were even honored by Nebuchadnezzar, verses 17 to 20. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. I'm sure his heart was thumping in his chest. Then the king interviewed them, communed with them, and among them all, so there were others, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. They were given government positions, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, no doubt Nebuchadnezzar had a list of questions. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. It's not the first time that they were increased, that they were honored. Chapter 2, 48 and 49 says, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts because he was able to interpret the dream. And he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. And also Daniel petitioned the king. And he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king, the place of authority, the place where decisions were made. Daniel said, I just don't want to receive this, but my three friends as well. He didn't forget about his three friends. And again, Daniel was honored in chapter 5 and verse 29. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And in their own right, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were honored. Chapter 3 and verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. as Joseph walked the corridors of power in Egypt, so here are God's people, these four, walking in the Babylonian corridors of power. And God has his people there. They prove the New Testament text of Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And just one last point here. Daniel's integrity. Daniel's integrity in verse 21. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Here's the perseverance of the saints. Cyrus began to reign in 539 BC. In verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel's a teenager. And in verse 21, in the first year of King Cyrus, he's in his 80s. Seventy years or so passes. And Daniel is consistent. He doesn't live his Christian life in fits and starts. He's consistent. Daniel continued. Nebuchadnezzar didn't. As we'll see as we continue this book. Nebuchadnezzar didn't continue, but Daniel did. And one has said, I think it's Dale Ralph Davis, who has a way with words. So in verse 21, Babylon, the hairy-chested macho brute of the world, has dropped with a thud into the mausoleum of history, while fragile Daniel, servant of the Most High God, is still on his feet. And one of the reasons why Daniel continued, he was a man of prayer. He was a praying man. Chapter 6 and verse 10. And these are the wee insights that we see. Chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Since early days. He was a man of prayer. As a teenager, he was praying, although it's not mentioned, it's implied from chapter 6 and verse 10. He was a young teenager who prayed. And no doubt he asked God for help in this stand when he purposed in his heart. He was going to do what was right. He was going to do that which was right to leave him with a clear conscience. And in chapter 6, he's in his 80s. And since his early days, he prayed three times a day. What a testimony. What a testimony. What great faith he had. What consistent faith he had. What strong faith he had. He's implied in Hebrews 11 verse 33. He stopped the mouths of lions. But you know, in chapter 6, he was in a den of literal, actual lions. But there's another lion that he had to deal with, that we all have to deal with, even in the 21st century. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like what? Like a roaring lion. seeking whom he may devour. And even in chapter 1, Daniel has to deal with hell's lion. As a young teenager, he is God's man in Babylon. And through different means, the devil seeks to bring him down, to silence him, to destroy his life. But Daniel purposed in his heart, and Daniel continued. For years, in a heathen environment, a man of prayer, and we'll read to a man who just got on with his work in the administrative system of Babylon. But he sought first the kingdom of God, and all these things were added unto him. He stood out as a witness. As we'll see in chapter 6, the other leaders sought to get rid of him. But Daniel continued. Four exemplary teenagers. And our examples to all teenagers, but to us older ones as well. Because Daniel's God is our God, the same God whom we love and serve. So may the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. And I'm not back until a month's time, actually, for Sunday in December, and then we'll consider chapter 2 of Daniel. The gospel according to Daniel is in chapter 2. Psalm 119, verse 97 to 104, to the tune Cunningham. Oh, how love I thy law. And we could say, it's as if Daniel and his three friends are saying these words. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my study all the day. Yes, they had to study the literature of Babylon, but they studied the literature of God too. It is my study all the day. It makes me wiser than my foes, for it doth with me stay. And whatever Daniel and his three friends were taught as children, like Timothy, from a child they had known the Holy Scriptures. And of course they would have only had the first five books or so, but they were able to make them wise unto salvation. Verses 97 to 104.